Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Q3 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to welcome you, and I'm grateful to you for joining us on this call. We are here to discuss the results of quarter three, which is October, November, December 2010 for fiscal year 11. Now, this, just to remind everybody, is seasonally the lowest quarter in the year. And given the seasonal nature of most of our businesses, this quarter has traditionally been the lowest in performance. And therefore, for comparison purposes, we always do a year-on-year comparison in this particular quarter. And for that matter, even the rest of the performance. So as usual, I'll start with the environment that we saw in quarter three and then get on to the results and open it up for Q&A. As usual, I have my colleagues, Mr. R.S. Pawar, the chairman of the company, Rajendran, co-director, G. Raghavan, the president of the Individual Learning Solutions and India Corporate Solutions business, and this time on matters relating to schools, Mr. Rajendran will be handling our questions, and on other matters, myself, Rajiv Pawar, and Raghavan will be taking up. I also have the investor relations, Kapil Saurabh, then from finance, Chetna Kullar, and our CFO, Jitendra Mahajan, on the call. The environment that we saw during the last quarter was fairly bullish, very optimistic in terms of our businesses, and also in terms of the real numbers. Indian GDP growth continued to remain strong, and I think the discussion that skills will perhaps become a very big inhibitor to growth of GDP and therefore requires special attention is a debate which has, or a discussion which is gathering momentum. On the other hand, inflation and volatile capital flows remained major risks. Our employers, especially the IT employers, had very bullish forecasts of hiring. We ourselves felt it in the placements that we did during the quarter, which I'll talk about. Banking industry is on a massive hiring spree, especially the private banking sector, and now very soon the government banks as well, or the public sector banks as well. That had the benefit. The pace of decision making in corporate sector is also increasing, improving. Execution of some of the government plans, on the other hand, has been slow, especially in schools, and the new policy of ICT at schools continue to remain slow. And for us, a very redeeming feature was the positive recovery that we saw in U.S. markets, U.S. and European markets, in terms of paying spend. So in that context, our consolidated system-wise revenue for this quarter was 5% year-on-year at 4.14 billion rupees. Net revenues were at 3 billion rupees, 3.007 billion rupees, up 6% year-on-year. This is because of a product mix which was adverse, because some businesses did reasonably well. And on the other hand, our government schools business continued to remain subdued, partly because of our choice and partly because of slow decision-making. EBITDA was at 370 million rupees, up 19% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margin at 12% improved 130 basis points over last year. Profit before tax was at 65 million rupees, which was up 120% year-on-year. And after taking into account share of associates, net profit was worth 129 million rupees, which is up 36% year-on-year. Key drivers to growth were career IT enrollment, banking enrollment, order intake of $33 million in corporate learning solutions, growth in non-government schools, and a larger annuity and IP-based revenue. So considering that we had a seasonally low quarter, margin improvement, as well as some of the business growth parameters were fairly encouraged. Net revenues in IT training grew 12% year-on-year. EBITDA was at 228 million rupees with a margin at 21%, an improvement of 102 basis points. We also had the benefit of some structural adjustments which happened because of our introducing a new delivery model, which Mr. Raghun will perhaps help us with as we talk about. In new businesses, net revenues were at 121 million rupees, which grew 33% year-on-year. Schools, the total revenue is not just a full indicator of school performance, because in government schools, we did not add any new orders, partly, as I mentioned, because of our choice, because of the selective behavior that we are giving to that, and partly also because of the fact that there is a delayed implementation of government policy on ICT at schools. But our non-government school segment, even though it was a low quarter for new school addition, this is typically a low quarter, we had our revenues grew 28% year-on-year. In the first 9 months of the year, we have added more schools, more non-government schools in the 9 months than we did in the whole of last year. In corporate, our revenues were at 1.446 billion rupees, which is up 8% year-on-year. Once again, these numbers don't tell the whole story because there was a negative impact of the forex. If one was to take that into account, the volume growth was of 13%. EBITDA was at 121 million rupees, which was up 37% year-on-year. The margin was at 8%, an improvement of 177 basis points year-on-year. So, in overall sense, the exchange rate impact on our total revenues of 3 billion rupees was about 66 million, which would have been 2% of the total revenue. On and in terms of operating expense, we had an improvement in margin despite making up for people cost rationalization and others which we have talked about in the past, increase in rental rates, inflation, adverse exchange rate, which did all put together cause nearly 300 basis points margin impact. But despite that, our margin was better at 12%. In terms of overall financials, return on capital employed was slightly better than previous quarter at 14%. Our net debt is approximately at the same level, 3.484 billion. Cash flow, net cash flow from operations was positive, 152 million. Accounts receivables, once again, had a marginal increase from 3.64 to 3.85. However, this is caused by a very good quarter which Element K had in quarter three. So, seasonally higher invoicing contributed a part of this step increase, or a part of this increase, which in the next 30 or 45 days would get settled. We added fixed assets of 116 million. Much of that expenditure was in upgrading our education center infrastructure to deliver the new delivery methodology, which I just mentioned. Mr. Raghavan will talk more about. We are very excited about that project, and we see that contributing both to our spread as well as our margin improvement in times to come. In terms of individual business segments, individual IT business, some more color on the leading indicators. Enrollments, total enrollments were up 8% year on year. It was a good year for India, where we had 12% enrollment growth. We do have some challenges in some part of our international geographies. Once again, Mr. Raghavan will perhaps tell us more. Our placements grew by 30% year on year, and this has been our best performance, growth performance in placements this year, which corroborates the response that our product is receiving with the employer, which is our trained students, as well as the hiring pattern in the employer category. The star of this quarter was our 99 days job qualification or diploma, as we call it, which had a 46% growth year on year. Our engineer segment, which has become a fairly large segment, grew 24% in enrollment, and our career IT enrollment grew by 17%. We added 5% more seats, and thanks to the diploma program, where the enrollment which we got towards the end of quarter two, we were able to execute them, being an intense program, had a higher utilization than we normally have in this, at this time of the year. SAP program, which we had launched a couple of quarters ago, has begun to show momentum, and we have begun to see decent volumes coming up in that. In school learning solutions, I think the only point mentioning, worth mentioning, is that non-government revenue contributed 38% of the total revenue and grew at 28% year on year. So in schools, the government revenues coming out of existing orders, we did not add any government orders this quarter, and our focus has been in growing the non-government schools business. In corporate learning solutions, we have a 13% volume growth, which is driven by a growth in managed training services. I'm pleased to inform you that we now have 5 existing clients and 1 in contracting stage for the managed training services, 3 from Europe, 2 from U.S., and 1 more from U.S. And most of these have a global spread in terms of their reach. Our online learning product growth was 21% year-on-year, and as you can see, this has been accelerating quarter-on-quarter because of the annuity effect of a new subscription that we, every new subscription that we receive. Despite having an adverse exchange rate impact, we had an 8% growth in revenues, 13%, 8% growth in revenues, and an order intake of $33.1 million in this quarter. So we are ending the quarter with a fairly robust order book at $92.5 million. And as I said, with one more managed training services order being in contracting stage. In new businesses, the segment which is what, or the product which is worth talking about is banking, banking and financial services. We crossed in this quarter 10,000 placements that we have done, which means 10,000 bankers that we have provided to the private, privately owned bank segment. In addition to that, the growth in enrollment this quarter was 57%. Which is signaling strong hiring and strong interest in the banking sector. Our executive MBA program that we had launched in collaboration with IGNO, we added the second batch, so that program is beginning to catch momentum with the working professionals. If you see our revenue mix, nearly 53% of our system-wide revenues are coming from the individual segment, 35% are coming from the corporate segment, about 2% from new businesses, and the balance from schools. And in terms of EBITDA, the individual, like always, has traditionally contributed the maximum part of the EBITDA, but now at the second place we have the corporate followed by schools, and new business is yet to contribute positively to EBITDA in totality. I must say that IFBI as a business has broken even and is already generating small profits, which will grow as we go forward. Our India geography grew by 9%, US by 8%. We do have some challenges in some parts of the world, but those are more than made up for as far as this quarter is concerned in India. But we have a peak quarter for international businesses coming up next quarter, and we do see the impact of those being felt perhaps in the next quarter. Our headcount, we increased headcount by 99 people to now 3,973. I would like to stop here and open the floor for questions. My colleagues here will be happy to join me in answering your questions. Operator, can we please open it up for Q&A?
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone. All participants are requested to limit your questions to two per participant only. The first question is on the line of Rishi Maheshwari from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I just like to know what is your stance on the schools business, and especially the government part of it. What is it, the IRR at which you want to work within the school business, and within the contracts that had emerged in the last quarter? Can you give some specifics? Why did you choose not to participate in it?
Yeah, so I have mentioned this before as well. We definitely want to cover 15% plus IRR in the school business for a five-year business. However, IRR, EBIT, those margins are not necessarily our single largest challenge. Our single largest challenge is the inordinate collection delays that seem to happen in this segment. And we have a number of strange situations where a state government has gone ahead and placed order, on the other hand, has not received funds. We have another situation where a state government issues checks and then says, please hang on to the check because the treasury has to still receive funds. So there is a disconnect between the center and the state. And one of the issues that we want to be assured of is collection delays. Our execution has been perfect. Our client satisfaction has been perfect. And we, therefore, would like to work with states. And we'd like to be assured that our collection is secure. So that is essentially the reason that we take or not take an order.
So despite a lower amount of government school billing, why is it that the average debtor days has increased in this quarter?
No, there is a continuing government business which is going on. We have an opening order book. 62% of our revenue in schools came out of there, right? So the continuing orders are going on. So, for example, there are states where there is a logjam on collections, and I don't mind sharing it because it's affecting the whole industry. Every player who's participating in that, and that's Andhra Pradesh. And they haven't paid bills. These orders were divided between, we got the lion's share, but every other player got a little bit. And I think everybody's payments have been stuck. So we have been working with that. So our question is, Ministry of HRD, that you have to work out with a policy which supports this PPP relationship and protects the interest of the private sector player.
So what is the amount that is stuck in Andhra Pradesh?
And sorry?
What is the amount that is not yet received in, from Andhra Pradesh government?
Well, Andhra Pradesh has is a large part of our receivables. I don't have the number right away, but it's a large part of our receivables, government receivables. And it goes on.
So do you feel in the government business a need to make provisions for bad debts?
Fortunately for us, they do give us a confirmation every year. So that is a very important part. We had in one many years ago taken a provision when we felt that there was a need. And as luck would have it, in the following quarter itself, the government released that payment, but and we had to reverse the provision. So we are working and watching the situation closely, but we do not see any reason for us to happen. Just to also let you know that even in Andhra Pradesh, Ministry of HRD has recently released some money, so they will definitely ease down as far as in the coming quarter. So we expect this receivable situation to ease down fairly substantially in this quarter.
So, also, if you can give us an individual breakdown of the growth trajectory that you see in each of your businesses in, for FY12 as well as the for this year.
Yeah. So, I think as far as the medium term as well as next year, FY12 is concerned, as I said, the overall mood is quite bullish and the placements and all those are happening. There are new needs which are emerging. Students are preferring high intensity, low duration courses, so they would like to work and finish their course faster. We are responding to those. We have new high-tech products coming up, as well as each one of the businesses has a positive growth trajectory. So I would say that at a broad level, maybe Raghu, you would like to throw some more light on segment.
Okay, hi, good afternoon, this is Raghu. I'll talk to the individual learning business as well as the new businesses. As Vijay said, the market is very strong. The hiring outlook is very strong for the next fiscal year. The numbers that are being talked about are between about 200 to 250,000 freshers hired. In addition to that, there is strong indications of very large lateral hirings that will take place in the industry. This augurs well for us, both for training fresh graduates and graduating students for the fresher recruitment, as well as look at higher end opportunities for training the lateral moving people. And we have been very successful with job-oriented short-term modular programs. Last quarter, we saw a growth of 46% in the diploma program and 24% growth in the engineers series. So, With this background, the outlook for enrollment growth in the coming year is strong. This is the same case in the case of banking sector as well. There are very strong hiring plans both from private banks as well as public sector banks which are being put out. So we are well geared to take advantage of all this. So if you look at, to answer the question, how are we looking at the going forward outlook, let's say into the next year, we are seeing a fairly positive indication.
Any numbers that you'd like to share on ILS? What would be the growth rate in FY12?
I guess this may be a little too early for us to share the numbers for FY12. We are in the final stages of our planning and what is going on. So we will have a little better handle in what we can guide when we talk about this in the call 3 months from now.
Sure, sure. Thanks and all the best. To
it's important for me to, you asked the question about FY11. It's important for me to close that loop with you.
Sure.
Basically, we've been having continuously low enrollments in the long-term courses, leading to long-term order book. As a result, if you look at a very, very, in a very narrow box of a Q4 executable order book support for our Q4 revenues, it will be low. In addition, we are also facing some challenges in some selected international markets, which have traditionally done well in this particular quarter, but we are seeing some challenges in some selected international markets, particularly in Africa. As a result of this, we expect Q4 revenue growth to be kind of subdued and lower than recent growth rates. So I think it's important that I share this with you to answer your question completely. This is on the IT side, as far as the new businesses are concerned, there's nothing that is slowing them down. It's going to be a pretty good growth rate. And as Vijay alluded, we are very happy to see the banking training business come of age and start to make profits. And when we look at the next quarter as well as the next year, the trends are going to be very positive as far as those businesses are concerned. And as the executive MBA program and the management program takes off into larger numbers, we see a very strong core product being offered through that business unit, around which a lot many more programs do happen, and therefore that's also another positive indication. So except the short-term Q4 point which I mentioned, the overall outlook for the business continues to be pretty positive.
Just sorry to persist, but one last one. With respect to the challenges that you mentioned on the ILS part, because on the IT side, do you think this may not be one of your strongest quarters as it always has been in Q4?
In absolute size, it may still be a good quarter. When I mentioned about the potentially subdued nature of the growth, I'm talking in terms of year-over-year growth in the quarter.
Sure.
As you're aware, this is our second largest quarter traditionally. Largest quarter is quarter two.
Okay.
This is our second largest. Our quarter one used to be our second largest, but last year quarter four was.
Right.
So they kind of compete with each other, and quarter three is our lowest quarter, which is we just finished that.
Yeah, I would like you to look at it in the context of the cycles that you may be familiar with in the individual business.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Okay, so since you asked about other businesses, I'll ask Raju to talk about the schools business. We talked about the government schools. Maybe you would like to talk a little bit about private schools.
Yeah, so Vijay talked about the government business, which we kind of putting in a little break for the last 4 quarters. However, there is a government contract which is stuck up for execution. If it comes up, then you will see some traction on that in this quarter. We have also participated in one or two tenders which are not really the boot type, which is service type, and including content. The clear indications are that is going to come our way. We don't know. We will come to know in the next week, 2 weeks. That happens, that also we'll see some part of the revenue coming in. There is also discussion in creating teacher training for government. Now, that is another line which we want to scale up next year. Some of that, in fact, may or may not be there this quarter, but that's the internal work which is going on. Vijay mentioned about the new IT policy, which is delayed, execution thereof. The key fact, the key interesting part of that policy would be that instead of, typically in a boot model with 40 to 45% hardware related and the rest being services, this will start looking at probably 30% hardware related and 70% services, which is really our core activity. In the private schools, we have already seen that the order intake has been strong. We continue to feel that will happen this quarter also. But order intake to revenue will depend on finally how we are able to manage the delivered product mix. Product mix consists of, on one side, the licensed products. We have products like the Science Lab, the Quick School, which is a school ERP, and the Math Lab. Then we also have the interactive classrooms. So there is a certain assumption on what is the licensed product value and what would be the annuity-based 5-year business. So it depends on how that moves this quarter in terms of how the revenue will get recognized. The last part which is interesting in the private school is that one of the internal initiatives to completely revamp the content and have our own content completely, that has started. We have started showing it to the customers, and we have already had one or two clear wins from customers against competition products, and we would complete the packaging of that, productionizing of that by end of this quarter, which means partly into this quarter, some orders will come, and surely this will help us in the future quarters.
Right.
On the corporate, which let me just complete. On the corporate, I think there are two growth drivers, learning products. Learning products, I just mentioned to you, 21% growth year-on-year in last quarter. And the second is managed training services. So both these are showing very good momentum. And we are, of course, banking on some more order closures during the quarter. By the way, the Indian scene is also showing signs. Indian corporate spending on training is increasing. Government focus on training and skills development continues to be there. So we see a positive movement there. We are well ahead of what we had thought we would do. So, and we are using this. We are hoping that we will continue with this momentum in this quarter as well.
Sure, sir.
Okay.
That's it from my side. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. I had forgotten to talk about future, so since you asked the question, I covered it for everybody. Can we have the next question, please?
Sure, sir. Thank you. Participants, please restrict your questions to one per participant only. The next question is on the line of Mohit Jain from Alchemy. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management team. I have two questions. First is on ILS. Can you help me understand the geographical breakup of the ILS IT segment and which geographies are struggling and why? Second, in ILS, is there a possibility of price improvement given that the hiring outlook looks strong? And third is, if you can help me understand the tax rate, because it seems like fluctuating a lot from quarter to quarter. So how do we look at the tax rate going forward?
Okay, thank you very much. Raghu?
Okay, on the geographical, the ratios have been something like 70% from India and about 30% from the international market. But this particular time, the international market contributed only something like 16%, primarily because we do have some challenges in some of the African markets particularly, and a little bit with Asian market, but primarily African market, and where we are taking some corrective actions and we are remodeling our presence in that market with a view to rendering our business more consistent going forward. So that is the work that we've been engaged in the last quarter, and it will continue till a good part of this Q4. So that is the challenge I mentioned before.
And sir, if, just a follow-up. So is there a mismatch between offerings and the market demand, or is there a higher competition, or the macros are not supporting? What is it?
No. It is nothing. Fortunately, none of those issues. This is what I would call as our own distribution-related issue, not market. Our reputation is very strong. We continue to get awards in this market. We have a fairly strong footprint there. Our products are good. Although, as a matter of refreshing our products, we are incidentally going to launch new products in those markets. But that is not the nature of the problem I'm talking about. The nature of the problem is with respect to the distribution arms that we have in some of the African markets, which we want to render on a lot more solid base, and therefore we are going to slightly modify the way that we go to those markets, starting with one particular market in the beginning.
Sure. And on the tax rate and pricing?
Let me answer the question on pricing. As you know, in the early part of this year, we did move some pricing up. And right now, in the Q4, do we have a plan? No. But we are currently working on a new model of the long-term course, GNIT. And when that comes out, it is likely that the fee points may be different. The configuration of the product may be refreshed. And to that extent, there may be a higher realization, but that is not a news for Q4. But certainly, when we go into the next year, we will certainly revisit the pricing and the fee structures of all the products And I can already visualize the GNIT fee being different from the current levels. Did it answer your question?
Yeah, sure, sir. Thanks.
Tax rate. Your next question was on tax rate. So, as you know, the tax is a summation of a product mix, which is to do with how much is the India-based business and how much is the export-based business or dollar geography-based businesses. So, that determines the tax rate. Now, the quarters in which India business does better, tax rate is higher, like it is this quarter, 22%. The geographies. EYD is 21%. And this quarter is 22. Oh, last year CYD. Okay. So last year CYD was 22%. This year CYD is 21%. And going forward, it will vary between 21 to 25% depending on that mix.
And sir, I am on slide 5, slide 4.
Slide 4, okay.
Financials, there's a table there with the numbers.
Yes.
So for this particular quarter, PBT was 65, whereas the tax was 41.
Yeah.
So any particular reason why it's like 63% in this quarter?
One moment. Yeah, so it is like this. You had the standalone profit of NIIT Limited was very high because of the good domestic business. And there was a loss in international geographies consolidation because of the problems in international. Therefore, it appears 63%.
Okay, and so the loss which is incurred on international business.
But that you will benefit. Next quarter you will benefit.
So that can only be offset against profits.
Yeah, so I'm just, yeah. Yes, of course. And fortunately, they all make profit. It is in this particular quarter we had that.
So only for this quarter you...
See, the point is, when you have a loss, you cannot put a negative tax figure or you can't create a deferred tax asset.
Right.
You can create a deferred tax asset if you have spent capex or something. So that's the reason.
Okay, sure, sir. And can you please remind me the forex impact on your margins?
66 million... on margin, 14 million rupees.
14 million. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But thanks for pointing it out. I should have highlighted the taxation issue in this. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and then one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one now. The next question is on the line of Sonal Kohli from AIM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Sadani.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Firstly, on institutional business, do we expect decline in a bit of institutional business in Q4 and also in 2012 versus 2011? Or our cost structures are such that, you know, we'll dismantle the cost fixed cost structures, and if we don't win further business, you know, the profitability will at least be at similar levels as 2011?
Partly what you are saying is right, but you must realize that the IP-based business of ours is increasing. So to that extent, there is a balancing effect on the margin. So it will depend on the product mix.
So IP-based business as in the private school business?
So all the, see, we have, there are three components to our offering. One is infrastructure, hardware and software, minimum margin, correct? Second is services, medium margin, and third is IP, high margin. So if IP portion is high and on the other hand, hardware and infrastructure is not there, it therefore creates a benefit on operating margin in any case.
Sir, I was actually referring for the, you know, the absolute amount rather than the margins.
Going forward, how will it be?
I mean, what do you expect based on current environment that your EBITDA in institutional business may be less than what you would have done in 2011? Okay. Because you're not bidding for, you know, the government business and the fixed cost structure would be similar.
Yes, but the relatively government business has relatively low fixed cost. But I do not have the projections in front of me of what will that add up for the year in EBITDA. Yeah, and by the way, we are continuing to execute the current orders that we have.
Okay. In the private school business, you know, in the interactive classroom area, what would be the number of schools and the classrooms you would be covering?
We added this year 385 schools in the first 9 months.
And sir, what would be a classroom size? Would it be similar to the number of schools?
No. And it's not 385 classrooms per school, no. It is...
not one classroom per school.
No, and neither is it one classroom per school. I would say on an average, what is it?
Somewhere between 5 to 10.
5 to 10. So, the good news is, in many of these schools, there is a lot of upside.
So, you're saying that about 5 to 10 classrooms per school and about 300 schools, so about 1,500 to 3,000 classrooms. Is that what you're implying?
No. 385 schools got added. Not everybody bought interactive classrooms.
Oh, I see. This is not the interactive.
Yeah, my thinking is about 60-65% would be interactive classroom. 70% perhaps would be interactive classroom. And then we have math labs, we have quick school. So somebody may have bought, but we are talking about new school, so therefore upgrades are not in there. Yeah.
Sir, as far as the new business is concerned, since we, you know, at the time of making our estimates, we don't break up into IFBI and BPO business and Imperia. Could you give some color on which quarter or whether for 2011 as a whole, the entire segment which compares to these three businesses, would it be profitable at a better level? And when is it likely?
Okay. So, at an overall level, at this point of time, on a CYD basis, the segment is in red, as you know, on a CYD basis. And I personally feel that next quarter, while components of the business are doing well, which is IFPI, components of the Imperia, which is management education, doing well. But on the other hand, there are others which are not, right? So we have minus 88 million CYD in all these businesses put together. And I tend to feel that even in the next quarter, we would have a negative impact.
So would you expect yourself to break even in 2012 in this business as a whole?
Yes. My feeling is as each business matures, which is what we should perhaps do, we should keep putting it on the other side, and therefore have a overall outlay for new businesses. Now, new businesses, if right now we are continuing with the same mix. So last year they had lost 129 million in the same period last year. This year that number is 88, so they are on a recovery path, no doubt. And we tend to feel that in the next two or three quarters, at least this set of businesses which we are running should all put together be in a positive range.
So you mean that you may be adding a further business in this segment, and that's a little difficult to project, you know, when overall.
Absolutely. So we have a plan to aggressively look at skills development. And in fact, we have had small forays and have been trying out various experiments. And now we are putting all that together and would be launching a series of skills development initiatives.
So is this the government section, or this is skills for, you know, companies or for individuals? What are you targeting?
No, that way we do skills for individuals and companies even today. It is IT skills and banking skills. Now, this, we are looking at the 21 sectors which have been identified by the government as priority sectors where skills are required, and we are trying to focus on a few of those. And what we are also seeing is that in many of those with a common infrastructure, you can actually run a multiple series of courses. So we've done a lot of work in that area. We've run a lot of experiments. We've worked with some of the government projects. So we now have our act ready, if I may say. And I think in the next quarter's call, we will perhaps be talking about it in a higher degree of clarity and specific business plan.
Sir, we have always been talking that, you know, we don't have any intentions to enter into a school business because, you know, the regulatory framework is not clear.
Yes.
A few months back, Mr. Deepak Parekh, you know, commented that HDFC is going to enter into school segment.
Yes.
The very fact that, you know, HDFC is entering into school segment would imply that, you know, more or less, you know, it is clear that there would be no interference from the government side as far as the current structure in the regulatory environment is concerned. In light of that, have you internally debated and, you know, discussed and do you feel that now whether you would now want to enter into the segment?
I do not think there is any change in that thinking which we had, and I'll ask Mr. Pawar, who works very closely with the policymakers, so he can give you a very clear indication of what's happening.
So I think there is no improvement in the clarity on policy in education. The bills are not debated. They haven't gone through any serious discussion yet. They haven't become laws, and we don't know when those discussions will happen. So I guess the risk perception hasn't changed in our view at all. And our involvement is only to do with IT in these institutions, in schools and colleges currently, and that an IT and IT-based education, and those whatever clarity exists there is what we are operating within. Now, what larger changes happen to permit for-profit organizations to interact with educational entities, I think we have to wait. We haven't seen any clarity emerge.
And I think in every forum, government has been absolutely categorical in saying that education will remain a not-for-profit entity.
So, but that may be a case of, you know, public posturing because government, you know, may imply something else and the public posturing may be something else.
So, we don't want to do a conjecture on that.
Okay.
Right? I don't think it improves. It doesn't improve the clarity, as you can yourself see.
And, sir, as far as, you know, you would see a salary hike in Q1, what do you expect, you know, our overall margins would come down, assuming, you know, product mix doesn't change and because of this, or our profitability will increase because of salary increase?
Are you referring to
2012.
Q1. Yeah, Q1. Now, Q1, typically, you will always have the effect of a step increase in salaries. And the salary costs are going to go up this year as well. But as you know, what we do is we get the advantage, or I mean, we make up for that in the second or third quarter, which happened in this case, in our case, by second and maybe part of third quarter. So that's a natural phenomenon, and I think one can be, see, last year was a particularly larger step because the year prior to that, people had taken a cut in the salary. So you restored the cut and you had an increase on top of that. So that gap was larger. This year, I don't think the gap will be that kind.
Okay. And sir, lastly, how many enrollments have we seen in the IGNU program? Is it large for us or is it still at very early stage?
No, I think it is early. It's in 100. So it has not yet become a significantly large number, but it's accelerating and it's a positive movement. And institutions take long to build, you know, on these, especially if you are into a formal degree program. But Raghu, you want to add something?
Yeah, I think what I am happy about is the success of our entry into the space, and also not only launching the first cohort, we also launched the second cohort. And both these have given us proof of concept and going through the whole cycle. and the students are extremely happy. So it's giving us a very solid foundation to go towards what we think is the large potential.
So are you targeting the masses through this course, or this is also going to be a little niche kind of program?
Working professionals, 3 years experience, who can't resign their jobs, but if they want an executive MBA.
So it's a niche kind of little
right.
niche.
And the content is, you can't call it completely niche.
It's actually not niche.
Not
it's
exactly.
Fairly broad-based.
The contents are very robust, and it's actually the best part of the program is the content and the faculty behind it, in addition to their ability to get a program on a synchronous learning technology platform delivery.
So my last query is that, what do you expect anything significant from this budget for your sector? Based on whatever feel you have?
No, so I have a wish list, but that doesn't, not necessarily everything happens. There is an irritant in skills development and training. There is no clarity on service tax. And I think that my one expectation is that if service tax can be removed from skills. The second, industry councils have given some wonderful suggestion to use skills development like R&D. If we give it the tax advantage which R&D expenditure gets, and if that was to go through, it will really give a bump to that. So those are two. And there are multiple others, but I just thought these two sound interesting to me.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Prem Chandra from Axis Bank. Please go ahead.
Can you throw some light on your inorganic growth plans?
Well, our eyes are and ears are always open for any inorganic or strategic growth opportunity, and we normally talk about them when they get cooked. At any point of time, we are always considering alternatives. So at this point of time, I have nothing else to share with you.
Yeah, that's all from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, thanks. I had two questions, if I may. The first was more on a data point kind of question. You already talked about some of them, but I was hoping for if you could give the gross cash, gross debt, and the sundry debtors figures.
Oh, yes. I'll give it to you right away. So, cash was $500 million. Debt was 3984 and debtors were 3853. So as you can see, that debt is financing the debtors.
And secondly, on the pricing side, last year, if I recall correctly, we took some price increases for some of the new products, new enrollments. Given that the market demand environment for the IT services companies, especially buoyant, do we see price hikes even this year, this calendar year?
So I like to call it price realization hike in contrast to price hike. So Raghu just answered this question before, but maybe Raghu can repeat.
If you look at the calendar year, I do see that being potentially there. But what we have to see, but certainly it is not there from a Q4 standpoint. But we will always do this in conjunction with, as often as possible with the new products, additional value, etc. But taking Vijay's point about realization, basically we also need to keep improving the way that we deliver to students and bring in efficiencies. So that for the same fee point, overall value inside the company becomes better. So these are the views. But to answer your very, very specific question, calendar year 2011, will there be possible fee increases? The answer is possible.
Vishal, in continuation of your question on debtors and debt, one of the discussions that we've been having is how do we reduce the size of the balance sheet? And there are a number of efforts underway, and many of them will bear fruits. during this quarter itself. So we definitely expect that over next 2 or 3 quarters, our debt levels will come down significantly because of our being very, very selective on the schools business, which is where most of our debt and debtors, therefore. The second is in this quarter itself, there should be a reduction in the size of capital employed because of certain restructuring which is going to happen to certain loans. So we do see a 40-50 crore reduction in this quarter, and then maybe another 50 to 100 crores in the maybe more like 100 crores in the following three or four quarters.
And just very quickly on the school side, any reason to, I mean, obviously this quarter we had a decline on a YY basis, but any reason to believe that these kind of levels cannot be sustained going forward, or can there be further declines from here? Thanks, that's it from my side.
I do not think so. I do not think so because the growth in the non-government schools has been very decent. And as you can see, there is a declining curve and there is a ascending curve. And at this time, the growth rate of ascending curve is higher, though the denominator is small. But by the way, we are being extremely selective about the kind of work we do for government schools. So some of the opportunities which Rajendran talked about also, some of those may materialize and will materialize. We, of course, will remain extremely selective about our concern is the capital intensity of the business. So as long as that sphere is looked after, we would definitely play in this. And therefore, we are waiting on the sidelines to see what happens to government policy also. But in short, answering your question, we don't think so.
And just to confirm a data point, the last two quarters, that's Q2 and Q3 for us, we haven't added any government schools. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mohit Jain from Alchemy. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again.
No problem. Go ahead, Mohit.
Yeah. Sir, as a follow-up to the previous question on the SLS, as we understand it, there are two revenue streams, the 62% from government and 38% from private. 38% is going up, but 62% is shrinking, and as per my understanding, it is shrinking because the existing schools are going out of the system as you complete your BOOT contract. So in that scenario, I guess whatever has been added over last 5 years or 3 to 5 years back, going out of the system, and so because you're not adding, it will continue to decline for the coming quarters. Is that interpretation correct?
It will depend on which contracts are getting over. So, Raju, maybe you want to answer that.
It's not simple because in a few cases, in the states that we choose, it is also possible, and we've done it before, that post the 5 years BOOT module, when the assets get transferred to the government, we are given many times an opportunity to continue purely on services basis. And there are examples. Chhattisgarh is one such example. That is also very good for us because our overall realization improves in that. Typically, the government takes a price from us at that point, typically. So our method in government schools going forward, wherever the contracts are ending, our first endeavor, if that's the school, if that's the state of choice, as in, they have been paying and we know that we can at least look forward to payments in time. There we would definitely try our best to get contracts extended. Reason being that we know the territory, we know the schools, we have the faculty in place. All those costs of recruitment, placing them, all none of those costs come into picture. Second, like I mentioned, content seems to be an opportunity in some states, so we are at the point of shaking hands with one of the states where it is a question of creating content. We already have, sometime back, I talked about new content which we are releasing. So that is in English. That's our own content, our own IPR. So the incremental cost is basically to probably translate and localize it. That second. Third, there are some opportunities where government is talking about teachers training outside the BOOT contract, based on a per teacher or per class basis. Again, this is not scaled up, but it just happens sporadically in some places. There is also this new thing which is called the continuous competence, that the CCE.
Comprehensive continuous evaluation.
That will start happening in as a standard, and there are some discussions going on. Those will ensure that we have a much stronger connect at services level into both private and government schools. So that's a long answer saying that it's not that government schools have stopped. Our execution continues based on the order book. Incremental additions coming from few BOOT, but then some non-BOOT contracts in the GSA, in the government space. A last experiment, which will take time, but I just want to put it on the table as a possibility, maybe many months from now, is that some of the good work which we're doing in private schools, as in math lab, etc., these are also the needs of the government school. But to move that into government school, create requirements, and then get into MOUs or tenders, that is a long selling cycle. But those are future possibilities.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and then one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one now.
So if there are no more questions, then maybe we'll close the call.
So at this moment, we don't have any further questions.
Well, okay. So thank you very much, everyone. We are, as usual, available on email, on phone, for any further clarifications and details. Thank you very much for your questions, your participation, and we look forward to seeing you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of NIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.